Welcome to Faith Lifestyler with Quanda Renee. Adding faith into your life, having faith for every day. Walk by faith, live by faith, build by faith, you'll be great. If you make mistakes, pray to the Lord, don't hesitate. Steer right, don't go left. Let me get this off my chest. Put faith in everything you do. Glory will rain down on you. Walk by faith, live by faith, build by faith, you'll be great. Welcome to Faith Lifestyler with Quanda Renee.
Welcome to the I Need a Word podcast. I am your host, Quanda Renee. Y'all, I'm back with another episode. I decided to keep going with this. I don't know what the Lord is doing, but as long as he's included me, I'm going to do it. So I'm super excited to be back with another episode. Again, this is something new that I'm trying. The other podcast episodes have been a lot of teaching stuff, but I just wanted to come on and connect and talk. So I'm super excited about today's podcast episode. Today's podcast episode is called Your Worst Season is Often Your Best Season. Your worst season is often your best season. Now, before we get into this podcast episode, let me tell you, this episode is sponsored by the I Need a Word app. If you have not downloaded the I Need a Word app, what are you waiting for? It's available in the App Store and the Play Store. Just search I Need a Word, y'all. And this is the place where you can binge watch sermons. This is like the Netflix for the gospel, Netflix for the church. Make sure you download the I Need a Word app. All right, so without further ado, let's get into our episode. Your worst season is often your best season. Now, I know in context that don't make sense. If it's my worst season, why is it my best season? Well, I think about my life and over the years, and even since doing I Need a Word, the times where I'm going through the hardest moments are the times where God is like blessing me the most or growing me the most. So I think for this podcast episode, we need to go back. We need to flip the chapters and go back to 2019. 2019 to date, I think that was one of the hardest years of my life. That was the year my brother was murdered. That was the year I went through betrayal. But it was also the year where I grew the most spiritually. So let's go back to summer 2019, early summer, like June. So 2019, I was friends with a whole lot of people. Like, once people started to find out I was the girl from I Need a Word, I mean, everybody wanted to hang out. Everybody wanted to be my friend. And I was kind of the season of my life. I was a little naive. Didn't really realize that everyone wasn't my friend. So it's something I had to learn. So let me pause real quick, because if you're watching me, you know that I'm drinking a little lemon water. And if you're not watching, sorry, I had to pause to get a little water drink, because what I'm going to say is a lot. So June of 2019, I started to like sense and feel something being off. I remember being friends or sisters, whatever you want to call it, with a particular person. And I noticed that this was the time where like magazine interviews were coming, radio interviews were coming. This was the time where like a lot of opportunities were opening up for me. People were starting to learn who I was. And of course, that was the time where I did the first I Need a Word conference here in Atlanta. So that was a season in my life where I was just, you know, I was just out here in these Atlanta streets really trying to grow I Need a Word. So it was like June, a little bit after the conference, I noticed somebody that I was friends with, like, they started to change up a little bit. Like, the conversation, we went from this sisterly conversation to more so now, it's like you're throwing digs, you're throwing shade at me more and more in the conversation. And at first, I didn't understand like what that was about, what it was. And I started to feel like I needed to hide my blessings to pacify our relationship, to keep you from being offended or feeling some type of way or insecure about what the Lord was doing for me, through me. I felt like, okay, I won't tell them what's going on. So June went by. July came. I remember even I had released a book this year too. It was my first marketing book. And I remember my face was on the cover of that book, and they said to me, your face should have never been on the cover of your book. And so that put me in a place of being insecure where I didn't even really promote the book. The book's still out there sitting on Amazon. I ain't never promoted because I was just like, the way I look on the book, now I'm questioning how God made me. Now I'm questioning my look. So I went through a season of like hiding behind that. Then they told me, you shouldn't be going live anymore. Now, mind you, I had such a connection with my audience at the time. I could go live and get between 3,000 and 6,000 people to watch me at the time that I'm live. And this was before all the algorithms and all of that changed. Like, I can literally go live and have thousands and thousands of people going on there. And because of what that person said, I just stopped out of the blue. I was insecure in my voice. I was insecure in the gift that God placed on the inside of me. And so I just kind of just retreated, got quiet, stopped doing everything. So July came, August 8th, which is my birthday. My brother was murdered. He was stabbed 21 times by his best friend. So I have never gone through anything. Now, I've been through death before, but I've never had it that close to home. And never because of a murder. So this was new to me. I had to learn how to navigate through a season of grief, be the strong one in my family, and work through that. So that required, and still run, I need a word, still be the face of a brand. That was a challenge. And so I started to retreat a little bit. I got quiet with people. I wanted to just kind of be left alone. And I don't know, people took that personally. Like, thank you for checking in, but right now I just need to grieve. And some people didn't even reach out or anything. Like, I'm sorry for your loss, and never really heard from them like that again. Because at that point it was like, you can't do nothing for me now because you grieving, you down, I got the whatever. So, before my brother's murder, let me go back to July. July, I was at Tyler Perry's studio, and it was the ending of July. And like in this moment, I was super excited. I was an extra on Sisters. I'm not sure if that episode aired. I hope it didn't air. Or at least I hope nobody recognized me. No, one episode did air because I was wearing my book bag that has my logo on it, Pretty Fly and Save. And I remember them saying no logos were allowed, but I had my little 10-second part in the line at the airport with that on my book bag. That's so funny. So I remember being at Tyler Perry Studio, and I was excited. The only reason I ever went to an audition, I was an extra for Tyler Perry because I wanted to see what that studio looked like. I wanted to see what the studio looked like. And even that story of me getting in there was miraculous. Let me share that. So one of my friends here in Atlanta, she was like, I just got picked to be an extra on Tyler Perry thing. You need to sign up so you can come. And I was just like, man, I ain't signing up for that. If I want to go to Tyler Perry's studio, I want to get him to invite me. Like, that's where I was. That's where my faith was at. I want him to invite me. I ain't being no extra. That's where my faith was at. So that was on like a Monday or Tuesday. She said that to me. But the Sunday before, I had just got home from church and woke up from an. I got home from church, took a nap, and the Lord told me to take a ride to the old TBN building. So I just went there and I just started, you know, just looking and started believing like this could one day be something for me, like because I want my own studio. And so then he said, so after that, I walked around the building. I kind of got a feeling. I was like, man, this is possible. All things are possible. So then he says, drive to Tyler Perry Studio. So I was driving by Tyler Perry Studio and I was just like, wow, like I can't believe it looked like this. And then I drove around like a couple times and I said, one of these days, I'm going to get behind those gates. One of those days, I'm going to get behind those gates. That was Sunday. So then my friend hits me up on, I think Monday. No, she hits me up on Tuesday. It's like, you know, I got picked. You should try. And I was just like, she's like, I'm going to go there on Thursday. And I was like, man, I ain't doing that. And she just kept nagging at it. And I was just like, whatever, I'll do it. So I did it. And they wanted my headshot or whatever. 10 minutes later, my phone rings and it's like, hi, this is Tyler Perry Studio. We see that you tried to be an extra. We want to know if you can come in tomorrow. Now, mind you, my friend was scheduled for Thursday. But God got me in there the day before, which was Wednesday. I was like, when they called, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I went and I did it. But, and so there was a part that was, for me, was a prophetic moment. It was, so when you're on these sets, you know, you don't talk to Tyler Perry. You don't talk to people like, you definitely don't talk to him. But we came, so it was a bunch of us there, and either hair and makeup is like an all day thing. This is like a 9 to 5 and they don't pay good. So I went there, did all the hair and makeup, shot the scene. And at the last scene, the directors or the producers made like 80% of the people there leave. And so it was maybe like 10, 15 of us left there. And so I'm like, well, what they about to do? Why they get to leave and we don't? Because after this, I'm over it. You know what I'm saying? I've been here all day. And so then they made out of us 12, 15 people. They made all of them go to the back. But me told me to sit, stay where I was at. So I was sitting right here because it was an airport scene. I was sitting down here. And literally 20, 30 feet away from me was Tyler Perry. Like our eyes met. And I was just, oh my God, like, you know, it's just excited. But again, you don't show that. This is a job. You don't do all of that extra stuff. So I remember sitting there like, wow, this is a moment for me. This is a prophetic moment that Lord's showing me, like, I'm gonna put you in rooms like this and you gonna be okay because I put you here. That's how I took that moment. But also there was a feeling that came over me in that same moment that said, God, whatever is about to happen, let it happen quickly. Whatever is about to happen, let it happen quickly. I felt that. And even in that moment of sitting there in that chair, I felt like this relationship with this person is not going to last much longer. I'm like, I just can't see. I'm like, Lord, they have planted so many demonic bad seeds in me. Like, I'm not good enough for this. I shouldn't do this. The enemy used them to try to silence me because that's what it was. And so I remember saying to God when I got back home, I said, God, if this person isn't for me, sever this relationship. I said, God, because everything they've spoken over my life, it does not feel good in my stomach. Like, it don't sit well with me here. And so, you be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you ask God for. Because as soon as I said that, things started to spiral. So then we fast forward. My brother gets murdered. I get the call. My brother gets murdered, stabbed 21 times by his best friend. And when that happened, I live in Atlanta. I had to go back to Connecticut, make sure he was, you know, everything was prepared. And, you know, but it was a homicide. So we had to wait to get the body. It was just a lot going on, right? It was a lot going on. But then is when I started to see people for who they really are, because I was in grief. And I know that life don't stop when you're grieving, because I'm grieving right now. Like, in real time, a couple weeks ago, I lost my uncle and aunt in a car crash. And so, you know, life is moving. Everybody's still going. My heart's still feeling the way it feels. But anyway, when you're grieving, life don't stop for other people. And I didn't expect it to. You know, I had people reach out, offer their condolences. And it just pushed me in a place of like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Only thing I could do was trust God. So get through the funeral. And, you know, I'm quiet with everybody because I'm like, the only person that can heal my heart is God. God is the only one who can take what I feel and do a divine exchange for peace and comfort. So I kind of just retreated a little bit. Wasn't talking as much. Wasn't posting on social media, none of that. Got offline for a while. And then I started get people started sending me text messages and things that were being said about me online by people I considered to be friends. And it was shocking because I'm like, I thought we was friends. And what did I do to you besides me being in grief? So it was just a mess. And I couldn't believe it. So then I went into a deeper prayer, fasting at the time. I literally eat, sleep, in my prayer closet in that season of my life. So I'm like, man, what is going on? And then God began to show me, like, this person does not have the best interest for you. This person is secretly jealous of you. This person is secretly chanting witchcraft prayers against your life to stop your progress. And I was like in complete shock, complete shock. And I had to learn how to navigate that. So now I'm secretly going through this. I don't tell anybody I'm going through betrayal. I didn't really talk about the murder, anything like that. I'm kind of isolating myself to protect my heart. And now I got people that I thought was ride or dies out here in these streets, internet streets, being little internet thugs, you know, just talking about me. So eventually I had to say to the people that were sending me the screenshots, don't send me another thing. Don't send me another thing. It's agitating me. It's taunting me because God already instructed me. Because it was like this. Every time I would log on, I would see something that was shade towards me. It was like the devil was like, soon we're going to get her. As soon as she log on, we're going to get her. But the Holy Spirit instructed me, you cannot say anything back. So you mean to tell me they on here lying, they on here making up stuff, and I can't say nothing back? Baby, when I tell you that was a hard pill to swallow, And the Holy Spirit gave me this revelation that I will never forget. He said, you can't fight a devil, you can't fight a demon with boxing gloves. He said, those boxing gloves carry no weight in the spirit. You need the sword, which is the word of God, because the word of God will cut down some things, transform some things. You can't say anything back. And that was one of the most powerful revelations I've gotten. Because I'm not going to lie. When you see people lying on you, when you know the truth and you got receipts and the Holy Spirit tell you, you can't say nothing, you can't do nothing, part of you wants to fight. My flesh wanted to fight. My flesh was ready to take these little earrings off and like, let's go. But you can't fight a devil. You can't fight a demon with boxing gloves. And you have to remember too, the Bible says we sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So if I'm sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, coming down to be on the level of the enemy wouldn't do anything for me. Like you think about Hannah, you think about a lot of the people in the Bible, their first response was prayer because they know. Hannah knew the one that closed her womb could open her womb because the Bible says that God closed her womb. So Hannah knows she couldn't respond to Peninnah out of her flesh. She didn't say anything. She got up and she went to pray. So that was a valuable lesson I had to learn. And then another thing what comes with that is you need to learn how to forgive, because you can't hold on to that forever. Let them say what they're going to say. Let them try to do what they're going to do. I know that I'm protected by the one who called me, who sent me. So now I need to learn how to forgive you, because in the beginning, I would, to the people that betrayed me or whatever, when I saw them online, I would get sick to my stomach. Like, it was real. I would see their face and just be like, ready to just like, my blood would boil. So I had to give all of that to God, right? He taught me, put me on a 21-day prayer fast, basically, and told me for 21 days to pray for the one that's doing this witchcraft stuff on you. I want you to pray for that person. To the one that's speaking opposite of your destiny, I want you to pray for that person. And that was a challenge within itself, because in the beginning, I was just like, Lord bless them, Lord keep them. But then by the day 7, spirit of prayer rose up in me, and I was praying about generations and praying they get this and get that and praying for their life. And I'm sure a lot of the things that they've walked into now were things that I prayed about at that time. And that takes a mature person. That takes you to be spiritually mature. So that those even though that was my worst season of my life, it was the best, because that was also the season where I learned to pray in tongues. I learned to speak in my heavenly language. And it would start out where I would just for 5 minutes, I would do it. Then I would go at, you know, as I trained and as I learned and grew in God, it would go to 10 minutes. It would go to 15, it would go to 20, it would go to 30. And before I knew it, I was doing hours at a time in the presence of the Lord. So those hard, what seemed like tragic, what seemed like unforgettable moments all played a part in the role that I'm walking out today. So we thank God. I'm telling you, your worst season is often the best season of your life. It may not feel like it. Now, in retrospect, I could say all of this. 2019, I wasn't saying this, okay? 2019, I was doing a podcast episode. It might sound like it was a little bit of bitterness. coming from me. But we thank God for growth. We thank God for wisdom. We thank God that even in our hardest moments, He is with us. So I say to this day, it was necessary for me to be betrayed. It was necessary for all the things that I went through because I have grown so much spiritually. You know, like I don't entertain a lot of the foolishness that I would have in the past. You make a post about me, you talk about me, I don't care. I'm not going to come down from my heavenly place to entertain a demon, a devil, because it's not even the person, y'all. It's a spirit. So your worst season is often your best season. So as you're listening to me, whether you're in your car, whether you're watching me live, wherever you are, think about some of the hardest things that you face and take inventory. You'll see your growth. You know, you see, okay, if this didn't happen, I wouldn't be praying as much as I do. I wouldn't be reading as much as I do. I wouldn't be in the presence of God as much as I do. I needed those things to happen, those hard moments to happen, to push me into purpose, to push me closer to God, to bring me to a new level spiritually. So that's all I want to say about that. Your worst season is often your best season. And before I get off today, y'all know I got to go into my new segment that I was talking about, which is what I'm not really feeling in these church internet streets, things I've been seeing, not really feeling like that. So I got to say, I'm trying to figure out how to say this without being, you know, but I'm always going to be quieter than that. I just don't understand. Now, I know we're supposed to cover our brother and sister. I know we're supposed to pray. I get it. But I don't understand in the body of Christ. Why are we always pacifying repeat offenders? It'd be the same ones out here with these scandals. It'd be the same ones out here doing the same old dirt. And we just pacify. Like, it's okay. I'm with you. Why? Because they got millions of followers? Why are we pacifying wrong? You know, like, if what you're doing is wrong, sit down. And get to know Jesus for real. Like, it's too many repeat offenders. And when you call a thing out, they want to call you judgmental. When you speak the truth, the word of God, they want to call you a bully. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, y'all read, well, I always talk about it. People done remix grace. Ever remix grace. That now that's all we just holding on to. Oh, this person, they fell this month, but that grace. And then 2 weeks later, they falling again. Oh, that grace. 3 weeks later. It's like, when we gonna demand change? When we gonna say, okay, I'm not coming to your conferences anymore. I'm not coming to your church anymore. I'm not sowing into you anymore until you really sit down and get an encounter with God. Till you really get your behind in the presence of the Lord and get rid of that thing you got going on. When we gonna do stuff like that? Or am I the only one that just... See, here the thing is, I'm in media, right? And the Lord kind of worked with me a little bit different. You know, normally, whenever there's about to be a scandal and this person is on I need a word or something, the Lord warns me and then tells me to take them off. I can go back to, is that 20, maybe 20, it might be early 2019. The Lord showed me in a dream. I'm a dreamer. The Lord showed me in a dream. A very well-known pastor was going to have a scandal. And he showed me and basically said, remove them. And I removed them. A day or two later, the scandal broke out. And God isn't playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't speak on any other Christian television network or Christian media platform. But for me and for I Need a Word, I really submit this to God. Now, I haven't always been perfect. I put people on here that the Lord ain't never tell me to put on here. And I've gotten in trouble for that, okay? But when I submitted to him, so I'll say to him, God, if there's anybody on here that shouldn't, if they're not living right, they don't really know you like that, show me, and I'll remove them. And that has happened quite a few times. And I was a very, very big advocate for this particular person. I mean, because their messages were just very impactful, but they weren't preaching what they were saying. And so the Lord told me to get rid of them. And I don't think I've played that person since. But you just have to be mindful. Like, everything we do as believers need to be submitted unto God. Like, here's my thing with some of these people, these evangelists and pastors and leaders and people with platforms and things like this. Now, mind you, my perspective is a little bit different because most of my best friends are pastors. So I see them on a more human side, friendship level, sister level, than being a part of the congregation. So let me just say that. But we got to get to a place where we don't just invite people on our platforms because they got the likes and the following and we know they can raise an offering. We need to put people on our platforms or allow them in our church that know God for real, for real. Like, who does the Holy Spirit say should come to this conference? Holy Spirit, who should I have at this conference? Because y'all will follow people based on the money trail. Y'all follow people based on the likes and the followings. And they'll be living dirty lives. And then you entertain that, bring that foolishness onto your pulpit. And now your pulpit is polluted. Now your congregation confused and this lust demon and this and all this and popping off because of what you allowed here. And this goes for even business-wise too, not just pastors. Like, we got to pray about everybody. When we have a platform of something of influence, something that's attractive to the devil, we got to pray about everybody who we entertain, who we connect to. Like, there's people that have reached out all the time for me to do things with them, podcast interviews and things like that. I don't do it. If I don't feel like God is leading me to do it, I'm not going to fake something just because you well known or just because your name is this and that. I can't do that. Like, my loyalty is to God first, always. So if that means I got to dishonor you to be loyal to God, I'm going to do it every time. God's going to win every time with Quanda Renee, like, period. He's going to win every time. So we just have to be mindful, very careful who we bring on our platforms, who we reaching out to, who we trying to be connected to. Because let me tell you, y'all, told y'all I'd be on the other side of the spectrum. Some of the people that y'all really want to be connected to and really want to know, they ain't in these streets for real, for real. And when I say these streets, they ain't really for Jesus for real, for real. It be business first, ministry second. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to go no further. Just be very careful. Pray about who you're listening to. Pray about, you know, what you're watching online. Because that's another thing, y'all. For some reason, this generation, we don't want to read our Bible and we don't want to pray. The meetings in church, when you have Sunday service could be packed. Bible study is where you find out who, that's your loyal membership will show up to Bible study. Your prayer meetings, don't nobody want to come to those. Because that requires you to do something. It requires you to read, right? It requires you to pray. And this generation just wants it quick and fast. That's one thing. And then they just want to pull from everybody else's anointing. Okay, let me jump in his inbox. Let me jump in her inbox. Let me get a prayer through them. Pray that when we get to heaven, if we make it there, he ain't gonna be like, well, what your pastor or what this person you in by? He gonna ask you about you. So be mindful of that. Like, take time out of your busy schedule and talk and converse with your heavenly Father. It's a conversation. It don't got to be, well, art thou, I, duh. Hey, God, today my boss got on my nerves, Lord, and I need you to help me navigate through this. It's the honesty for me. If that's my daddy, my heavenly Father, why can't I be honest with him? So, y'all, we got to learn how to pray for ourselves. We got to learn how to read this Bible, read this word for ourselves, because they might come a time where Bibles may not be allowed in this country or other countries. So you want to have it here. So you want to have it here. And when I'm for those listening here, I'm pointing at my heart. So I think that's where we're going to end it, y'all. This was another great podcast episode. I'm super excited. Thank you so much for joining. Remember, today's podcast episode was sponsored by the I Need a Word app, which is available in the Play Store or the App Store. All you have to do is search I Need a Word, y'all. And y'all, I got to see how the numbers are doing. If the numbers are doing good with these episodes, I am going to do a segment where we do an Ask Kwanda segment. You send in your questions, and I'll pick which ones I want to answer on the air. And it could be like, you know, it could be off church topics. We could talk relationships. We could talk, you know, whatever. Just as long as it ain't too crazy and too raunchy, we can go there. Because I want to definitely use this platform for God's glory and for us to connect. So I love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for subscribing and downloading. You were listening to the I Need a Word podcast. I am your host, Kwanda Renee. I'll see you on the next episode.
You've been listening to I Need a Word, your place for inspirational messages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook or visit ineedaword.org.